Welcome to the Fuck Therapy Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about boundary management. We've done so much discussion on this topic, and the reality is I have noticed so many people are asking questions and grappling with how to manage their boundaries. So I thought, what the hell, let's dig into it in the podcast. So let's get straight into it. So the name of my program is called Fortify. Why have I called it Fortify? Well, Fortify is to provide you defense as protection against attack. It's to make you stronger and more secure. It's to provide you a greater level of security through the addition of these new tools. But ultimately, what is boundary management? It is to make you safe, secure, empowered, and ultimately, boundary management is to set you free. It's to enable you to go out to the world and be free to live your best life, to live authentically, and to know that you're able to speak your truth, be represented. Freedom is the key to empowerment. But there's one kicker in relation to boundary management, and that is to fortify your mind, to set, manage, and maintain your boundaries is your responsibility, and no one can do it for you. I would love to be able to do it for you. Imagine that membership. But the reality is I can't. You have to do it for you. And the sooner we understand that, the sooner we take that responsibility, the sooner you're going to have significant impact in your life. So let's dig into a couple of things that we hide behind. Often we hide behind the terminology. Those that have trouble setting their boundaries are people pleasers. So I'd like to talk about the difference between a people pleaser and a people appeaser. You see, people appeasing certainly does not sound as nice as the terminology people pleaser. You see, when we say people pleaser, what we're often saying is that we're compassionate, loving, caring, empathetic people, which is beautiful, and we love those skills. Yep, we're sort of tossing into that description that we don't represent ourselves too well and we can get sort of run over, but that's hiding behind beautiful words and I don't like to do that. I want to pull you out from behind that. A people pleaser is typically someone that everyone considers helpful and kind, which is beautiful. A people appeaser is someone that submits their will to please others. So if you just take a couple of minutes to ponder that, to think about that and go, am I a people pleaser or do I submit my will? You see, the issue with submitting your will to another person is that you lose trust in you. And when you lose trust in you, the very next thing to go is the fact that you lose respect in yourself. And when that respect goes, you see less value. And where there's less value, there's less worth. And this is why we end up going, I've lost self-esteem, I've lost self-worth. In fact, I've even lost identity. And this is just a mental health snowball that spirals you out of control into a place that you do not want to go. And for those that have been there, for those that are there, you understand exactly what I'm saying here. So, what are boundaries? Boundaries is self-worth, intuition, and integrity in action. So, self-worth is the internal sense of being good enough and worthy of love and belonging from others. Intuition is the way the subconscious mind communicates with the conscious mind, and it's the protector of self-worth. And integrity, well, integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. We get that. But what we're talking about here is you representing you the way you would a loved one. And this is where we fall down. Integrity, commitment, loyalty, these are things that we really need to work on. So boundary management, self-worth, intuition, and integrity in action. So personal boundaries are basically guidelines, rules, or limits that you create to identify reasonable, safe, and permissible ways for other people to behave towards you and how you will respond when someone passes those limits. So that's a really academic way of looking at boundaries. But what are they? Boundaries are things that make you feel safe. They make you feel supported, accomplished, valued, free, evolved, and anything that breaks purpose and meaning. These are what boundaries are. You see, it's your security and survival that's the first level of boundary management. And you need to ask that question, do I feel safe? So if we dig into safety and we look at it at a much deeper level, safety isn't just about your physical and sexual well-being. It's about your emotion. It's about your intellect. It's about your possessions and money. It's about your time. The questions you need to ask yourself is, do I feel safe to speak my truth? Do I feel safe to represent myself? Do I feel safe to be 100% authentically me? Do I feel safe, comfortable to come forward and represent myself? Do I feel safe to say no? Powerful questions. This is the first line of boundaries. So do I feel safe? Your next question is in relation to acceptance and connection. Do I feel supported? Is my partner, is this person supporting me? Do I feel significant and do I have achievement? In other words, do I feel accomplished? It's so important that we feel these things. Do I feel valued? Is this line of questioning, is this behavioral pattern, are the questions that I'm being asked making me feel valued, or do I feel dismissed, belittled? Do I feel unheard? Do I feel unseen? Do I feel free? Do you feel free to be the person that you want to be? Do you feel free to speak your truth? Do you feel free in every aspect of the word? This is your truth and autonomy, and it is so important in the growth of any relationship. Do you feel like you're growing, you're evolving? Because this is critical. We need to ask ourselves that question. Is in this relationship, am I being retarded? Am I being held back? Am I being made to live a world that I don't want to live? And as a consequence, I'm suffocating. And is there alignment to purpose? These are what boundaries actually are. And the more we understand that, the more we will be able to manage the process. So I also want to talk about why boundaries are important. Why do we need boundaries? Well, boundaries give us clarity. They clear the clutter and fog in your life. They enable you to know what needs to be done. It's to see past emotion and desire to make clear what is and is not okay, what is serving you and what is not serving you, what is building you up and what is breaking you down. These are key aspects to clarity and key aspects to the importance of boundaries. Boundaries also provide you the ability to collaborate with others. When you know how to set, manage, and maintain your boundaries, when you build that level of confidence, it gives you the ability to speak your truth, to say no. And when you do that, boundaries will build trust in yourself, respect in yourself. It will give you your worth, remove guilt and shame, and ultimately, boundaries are so important because they will set you free. The way in which you need to visualize boundaries do not put you in a cage. They're not all these things that go around you and entrap you. Boundaries go around everybody else, which sets you free. This is the power of boundary management. And boundaries apply to absolutely everyone in your life. One of the most asked questions I get is, what about my parents? Or what about my children? Or what about my husband? Or what about my... Doesn't matter who you have in your life. You will have boundaries for every single person. You have to manage your boundaries. You are responsible to manage your boundaries, and they apply to everyone. If you have a parent that is bringing you down, then you've got to represent you in that state. You have to ask yourself, do I feel safe? Do I feel supported? Do I feel accomplished? Do I feel valued? Do I feel free? Do I feel evolved? And is there alignment to purpose? Are they filling my cup or are they emptying my cup? Are they poisoning me? Is it taking more from me that I'm actually being able to extract from the relationship and as a consequence breaking me down as a person. This is something that we really need to know. And one of the things that truly get in the way of our decision-making process is the way we actually look at expectation. The reality is expectation will always impact fulfillment and happiness. There's a thinking process and there's a feeling process when it comes to expectation. See, with expectation, there's what we think determines our happiness versus what actually determines our happiness. See, happiness is actually an emotion. It's not an academic process. If it was merely an academic process, when you were down, when you're grappling, when you're struggling, when you're hurting, how nice would it to be go, I choose not to be this way anymore and think your way out of it. That's not how it works. And expectation impacts fulfillment and happiness. So the reality is the feeling process, which is what actually determines your happiness, is the reality of any situation minus your expectation of that situation. For argument's sake, if you have an expectation set of your partner, that your partner is going to come in the door and tell you that they love you and that you're incredible and that they apologize for their horrible behavior. If that is your expectation, when the reality comes in and they don't do that, when you subtract your expectation, you walk away sad. The problem is you also make decision on the expectation. You hope they're going to change. So let's dig into that a little bit more. There is a significant difference between hope and expectation. You see, hope is to want something to happen or to be true. The reality is it's optimism in the face of adversity. Expectation is a strong belief that something will happen or be the case, which is significantly different. Hope is to want. Expectation is to believe. And therefore, if we're confusing hope with expectation, our decision-making process, the way in which we manage our boundaries are going to be completely warped. Now, if you are feeling broken, if you are feeling less than, if you are feeling that you can't be heard, if you are feeling fearful to represent yourself, I have no doubt you're confusing the hope of your partner with the expectation that you should have of your partner. And what we need to implement in this decision-making process is discernment. Now, discernment is using intuition to discover what is essential and true. It is detaching from the desire to rush decisions, distinguishing the true from the false, the facts from assumptions, and then being able to choose the best path forward. And this is so critical. It will have huge impact on your life when you understand the difference. So if you are one of the people that are confusing hope with expectation, for argument's sake, you're hoping your partner's going to change. You're hoping that they're going to listen to you. They're hoping that they're going to see the hurt, the pain, the sufferance that you're going through. You hope that they're going to want to love you more involved, be more understanding, be more caring, be more loving. Then perhaps your hope and expectation are getting confused. So how do we actually look at expectation? How do we know the difference? Well, we know the hope. We just listed it. But what is the expectation? Well, let's dig into that a little bit. To look at expectation, we look at it and go, well, what does the past experience tell us? What is our reference point? What has their behavior been over the last 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? Yeah, well, their past experience, has it been excellent, very good, good, average, poor, very poor, or tragic? Many people listening to this podcast now are going to be turning around going, listen, it's been absolutely horrific. My past experience, everything that they're giving me at the moment, subtracting the love bombing component, is tragic. When we look at the character of that person, is that person high in character or low in character? Are they loving? Are they compassionate? Are they truthful? Are they humble? Are they trustworthy? If they're not these things, then potentially we might look and say, yeah, the past experiences are terrible and their character is terrible also. We then look further and look at their emotional intelligence and self-awareness and ask where that sits. You see, if your past experiences, the behavior that they're showing you has been terrible, and let's not look at the beginning. Let's not look at the time where they sucked you in. Let's look at the current, the status quo. Are the past experiences terrible? Is their character poor? Is their emotional intelligence tragic? Is their self-awareness very poor? Well, then you should be setting an expectation that correlates to those answers. You shouldn't be assuming that they're going to change. You shouldn't be hoping for these things, because the reality is it's false hope. It's okay to have hope, but it's not okay to make decisions on hope. We make decisions based on expectation. And now we've got a new formula: past experiences, character, emotional intelligence, self-awareness, to actually look at this. You can now make much, much better decisions. So if we look into, I spoke about love bombing just before, going, what about the good times? Let's just have a look at the definition of love bombing to really bring this into practice. Love bombing is the abuse of love. It is a psychological drug used, here's the kicker, to mimic, not to give, but to mimic the words, actions, and behaviors of love, to allure, disarm, disorientate, and ultimately addict you to a manipulative and abusive person. You see, that wasn't love, what you were seeing or what you were experiencing. It's love bombing. This is why they haven't been able to maintain it. And once we understand that, once we can put it into place, we can deal with it. Now, understand if you're in a narcissistic relationship, and some of this information will be very triggering, and potentially you could be going, oh, wow, so they've never loved me. No, that's not what I'm saying. Typically, abusive, manipulative people do love, but they love as a possession, not the way we love. We love from the heart and soul, and it's all about giving and not judging. They love as a possession. For argument's sake, you're a car. And they're happy when they go on holiday to put the car in the garage. And they'll go hire another car while they're on holiday and then come back and grab that car. You see, when they're away, when they're at work, when they're out and so forth, they want the car in the garage. They don't want the people to look at the car, talk to the car, see the car, touch the car. No, the car can stay there locked away from the world. So they have a possessive love. And we need to understand the difference. And what could you do? So many people look at this situation and their belief systems, the story they tell themselves, get all mixed up here and all lost. And they look at it and go, well, if they can't love me for everything that I've done, then I must have no worth. And the reality is, you actually have nothing to do with it. You're bringing yourself into the equation because this is how you would process love. But the reality is, it's not how it works. See, they're giving you horrible behavior and you're still loving. In their world, they're receiving all this greatness and they're abusing it. And you're looking at it going, well, that must mean I'm not enough. I must be broken. I mustn't be good enough. I mustn't be beautiful enough. I mustn't be skinny enough. I mustn't be tall enough. It's none of those things. You see, people with bad character will never appreciate what they have in front of them. Why? Because they always want the upper hand. They always want more. They recognize you as an incredible person, but don't want you to recognize you as an incredible person. Because if you did, they wouldn't be able to run over the top of you. If you managed your boundaries, you wouldn't be in the relationship. They couldn't control you. They couldn't get what they need out of it. So they can never step up to your level. So what they need to do is try and rip you down from your level down to theirs. But the reality is, it can't work. Why can't it work? Because you don't belong there, and you will never, ever, ever find peace and happiness and fulfillment while you're being dragged down. Ultimately, you need to feel safe, supported, accomplished, value, free, evolved, and aligned to purpose in order to blossom, in order to live your best life. But they can't have that. They can't tolerate that. And this is why they break you down. So it's so key to make good decisions and make those decisions on expectation and not on hope. So let's now just take a bit of a look at the types of boundaries. Now, I spoke about them before, and I'm only breaking them down to six to simplify it. So you have physical boundaries, which is your personal space and physical touch. You have intellectual boundaries. They're your thoughts and ideas, and this may be something new to you, but you're allowed to have those. Emotional boundaries are your personal feelings. Sexual boundaries is the emotional, intellectual, and physical aspects of sexuality. It is not just the act. We've got material boundaries, which is money and possession, and we have time. It's the use of personal time. And listen to this, respecting personal time for all facets of life, including health and well-being. You're allowed to have that. You're allowed to work. You're allowed to have relationships outside of this relationship, and you're allowed to have hobbies. All of these things are boundaries that sit in that time space. And you need to actually do all of those things. We need to be good of mind, body, soul, spirit, and in line to purpose for us to live with fulfillment. And these are all the boundaries. So when we look at the types of boundaries, it makes sense to then take a look at where the red flags sit. Where do red flags sit? Well, they sit in those same six groups: physical, intellectual, emotional, sexual, material, and time. Your physical boundaries is someone that disrespects and or disregards consent, appropriate levels of touch, and personal space. They're your physical boundaries. Anything that sits in that space, their triggers, their red flags, pay attention. Intellectual boundaries, someone that dismisses or belittles your thoughts and ideas. Red flags. Emotional, someone dismisses, criticizes, belittles, and or invalidates your personal feelings. Red flags. We talked about sexual, any unwanted sexual touch, innuendo, pressure to engage in sexual acts, leering, comments, any of those things. Red flags. In your material, withholding financial freedoms, information, controlling, demanding, damaging, or withholding your possessions. And where it sits in time, it's anyone that tries to control your personal time or demands excessive time of you. Many people will try and abuse your time by giving you activities to do or places to be and things to do and ways to feel, so the only thing that you have time for is their requirements. These are all where red flags. And what are red flags? Red flags doesn't necessarily mean that it's stop, bad, go, throw this person in the bin, right? Red flags are literally warnings. Pay attention. Seek clarity. Remove emotion and desire so we can actually understand exactly what's going on. We then look back on life's most significant events, grab the lessons, wisdom, knowledge, and experience, and go, what does my intuition say here? Based on everything I've been through, based on everything that I've learned, is this something that I need to walk away from right now? Is this something where I need to speak up right now? Is this something that I need to demand a level of change in behavior in order to have this in my life? How do I represent myself? That's what this is saying. And then based on responses, will trigger the next lot of red flags or whether it's okay. So someone might do something and you might have a question about it. It's a red flag. The way in which their dialogue or the way in which they spoke may make you feel intellectually threatened, like they've dismissed you or belittled you. But if you speak your truth with peaceful confidence, if you ask the question, hey, whoa, just need to pick you up on that. Listen, I really feel dismissed at the moment. And they address that by saying, oh, listen, I am so sorry. You know, sorry, bit of a bad habit. I tend to, whatever it might be, then, okay, you're paying attention. Watch the behaviors next time. Next time, they don't do it. Beautiful. They learn we can start moving forward. No, 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 this is them. They tend to utilize that to break me down. Bang, no, I'm not going to be part of that relationship. And this is the way red flags operate and boundary management operates within it. So what do your boundaries protect? When you have these boundaries, what do they protect? Obviously, they protect you. But what about you? What is it in you that these boundaries, this new system, this new methodology, what will it actually protect? Well, it protects your self-trust, your self-respect, your self-worth, and your self-love. Your self-trust is the firm reliance on the integrity of yourself. It is so important to have that. Your self-respect is a deep admiration for your abilities, qualities, and achievements. Never let someone talk you down. Your self-worth is the internal sense of being good enough and worthy of love and belonging from others. And your self-love is a strong sense of respect for and confidence in oneself. It is having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. And here's the kicker. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others. Are you a people pleaser or are you a people appeaser? If you are a people appeaser, be very uncomfortable with that. Know that that is not the way to go forward. Know that that does not serve you. Know that that breaks your self-trust, your self-respect, your self-worth, and your self-love. And recognize that managing your boundaries is so critical to maintaining that. So what happens when someone makes you feel unsafe or makes you feel that they're not supporting you or makes you feel in a way that you're not significant and you're not accomplishing the things that you want accomplished, that makes you feel that you're not valued or free? Well, as soon as any of these things happen, I throw them into what I call, and I do have a poster on this for those that want to reach out to me. I do have what's called the red zone. It's anything that sits out of the boundary. Why red zone, red flags? It sort of goes hand in hand. And the type of behaviors that will trigger a boundary could be yelling and screaming, any levels of disrespect, silence. And when I say silence, I'm talking about silent treatment. When people are using silence as manipulation, coercion, and abuse. Someone that is withholding the truth. So this isn't saying lying. Lying is something significantly different. But someone that's withholding the truth falls into the red zone. Lack of presence in the relationship. When they blame you and they never accept any level of responsibility. In other words, they're in competition with you as opposed to being in relationship with you. Excessive alcohol and or drug use or abuse. When someone sets unrealistic expectations on you. When they withhold intimacy. Now, when I say withholding intimacy, I'm not saying that you don't have the right to say no. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is when they're using intimacy as a weapon to abuse you, as a weapon to manipulate you, as a weapon to bring you down, break you down, make you feel unworthy, make you feel dirty. This is what we're talking about, not consent. Refusal to compromise, another thing that will sit you in that red zone. If someone treats you as less than, unacceptable, and someone that will transfer their insecurities onto you, for argument's sake, they don't want you going out with the girls. They don't want you going out with a friend. You can't go to the movies. You can't go to a bar. You can't go, you know, they start accusing you of having an affairs, you know, even in the workplace and those sorts of things, questioning why you dress a particular way, why you put makeup on the way you put. When they try and put their insecurity onto you, recognize there's nothing you can do to fix their insecurity. Many of us believe when we're in these abusive situations that when we're getting attacked like this, we start buying into the bullshit. But buying into the bullshit doesn't help the situation. This is why it escalates. Because what we end up doing is enabling their poor behavior, and we don't want to do that. So transfer of insecurity sits in that red zone. Now, what do we do? The million-dollar question, what do we do when we think a boundary has been approached? Recognize it doesn't have to be crossed. All it has to be is approached. Well, serious discussions need to be had, and behaviors need to change immediately. I'm going to repeat that. Serious discussions need to be had, and behaviors need to change immediately. Now, how many questions is that causing you right now? How is that making you feel right now? If a boundary is triggered and you're now saying, right, in this moment, a serious discussion needs to be had, how do you feel? If you are feeling nervous right now, if you are feeling anxious right now, if you are feeling sad, depressed, if this is triggering you in any way, then we know the horse is bolted. We know that you're actually putting yourself in a relationship that is unhealthy, to say the least. And I choose to use the word unhealthy because it's not necessarily abusive, but it probably is. And we don't want to be in an unhealthy state, because what is actually unhealthy? It's your mental health. We need to protect that with everything. So a serious discussion needs to be had. We will talk about how we have that serious discussion in a minute. But what happens if we do have that discussion and behaviors don't change immediately? Well, your boundaries have been triggered. Boundaries aren't boundaries if they're not managed. Consequences aren't consequences if they're not applied. If you don't feel safe, support, accomplished, and valued in a relationship, you're not in a relationship that's healthy. You need to get yourself out of that relationship if you can't improve it through their compliance. And if they don't, if they do refuse, well, then they trigger hard limits. This is what I refer to as a point of no return. This is where we end relationships. So you can't be in a relationship where it's one way. You can't be in a relationship that is anything less than 100% on your side with effort and 100% on their side with effort. 100% on your side with wanting to work it out, wanting to work, wanting to communicate, prepared to change, to be humble. And the same on their side. If you do not have that balance, and it needs to be 100-100, then relationships don't work. As soon as you have to put in 90, you have to put in your 100 and recognize you only can put in 100. Anything that you put in more than 100 is actually taking from your self-worth. It's the type of thing where you're looking at the situation, you're going, I can give 100%, but if you're expecting me to break my beliefs, my values, my self-worth, my self-love, my self-respect, my self-trust, then I'm actually breaking down. I am now less than as a consequence. In other words, what you're saying is, or what they're saying is, I need you to set yourself on fire so I can be warm. And you can see that doesn't work. And it very quickly breaks down. So we have to actually have consequences for actions, and hard limits are things that we need. You cannot just continually break yourself down, suffer and tolerate and hope the relationship will improve. It never will. So what are some of the things that automatically go into a hard limit? Now, recognize this. These are just my recommendations. This isn't how everyone has to live. This is just what I advise. A hard limit. What's a behavior that's going to hit the hard limit immediately? Lying. Lying because it breaks trust. When there is no trust, there is no relationship. Bullying. Can't have it. Any type of bullying. Standover tactics. Fingers in your face. Raising of the voice. Scaring you. Hard limit. Manipulation. Narcissism, gaslighting, cheating, verbal abuse, psychological abuse, obviously physical and sexual abuse are hard limits. Point of no return. Now, how many of you are listening to this at the moment and going, holy shit, everything sits in the hard limit? Okay, we've got some work to do. And if you want to reach out to me, I can definitely help you in this regard. But this is not a sales pitch. I don't have ads in the middle of my podcast. I'm not sponsored. So we also need to understand in boundaries, there's two types of boundaries. Because one of the things that will happen, as soon as you try and set boundaries, you're going to be called selfish. It's all about you. You think there's no. It's not about that. Let's look at the two different type of boundaries. There's unilateral boundaries and there's collaborative boundaries. They're two very different things. A unilateral boundary, uni meaning one. One person decides. That one person is you, to impose a standard on the relationship regardless of whether the other person supports it. Your unilateral boundary are your non-negotiable boundaries. Your unilateral boundaries override all collaborative boundaries. So your collaborative boundary is as it sounds. It's to collaborate. So in other words, we talk about it. More than one person. So everyone that is involved in the decision-making process sets the boundaries for the group, sets the boundaries for the relationship. So what are the differences? Unilateral, well, self-trust, self-respect, self-worth, self-love. Your values, your belief, your purpose, unilateral. You don't need anyone's input to set these boundaries. Anything that breaks your self-trust, self-respect, self-worth, self-love down is for you to decide, not for anyone else. Your values and beliefs are yours and yours only. Your purpose in this life is your purpose. You don't need any input. You may need help setting them, but you don't need input from another person. And they're unilateral, they're yours, non-negotiable. The difference between that and collaborative boundaries, a collaborative boundary might be, what relationship are we in? Are we friends? Are we going to get married? Are we going to stay friends with benefits? Are we business colleagues? Are we business partners? Are we employees or employers? These type of things. How are we going to raise the kids? What schools are they going to? What TV programs are we going to watch? What sporting things are we going to do? You know, how are we going to cohabitate? What financial decisions are we going to make in life? All those things are collaborative. So long as they don't break your unilateral. So if all of a sudden you're being asked to do things that sit in this collaborative area, but they break your self-trust, your unilateral boundary takes over. We have to understand that. Very powerful to know the difference. You are not being selfish when you set boundaries. You are being responsible for you. Significant difference. Abusive people won't like it. We don't listen to their opinion in this regard. Why? Because we seek clarity of the situation. We remove emotion and desire. We're right back at the beginning. Boundary management is self-worth, intuition, and integrity in action. It is so important to understand these things. Now, there are so much more to go into in boundary management, but I think for this episode, we've gone through enough. But I will finish you with this. The way in which you set your boundaries is to know your worth, listen to your intuition, and live with integrity. To know your worth is to love you, to put you first, to stop apologizing, to stop justifying making long explanations of your position, and it's to remove guilt, knowing that you're worth it, knowing that you have the right to set that boundary and enforce it. Listening to your intuition is to trust it. It's to seek clarity through self-reflection. It is to know what is serving you and what is breaking you down. And it is clearly to identify where you need boundaries and why you need boundaries. Spend time with you. Spend time in reflection and listen to your intuition. And it's to live with integrity. So it's to communicate clearly. It's to be assertive and speak your truth with peaceful confidence. It's to say no and understand no is a complete sentence. It's to set clear, tight boundaries, and it's to be congruent. Here's where it ties all back in. To be congruent to your intuition and your self-worth. In other words, congruence is to do the things you think and say you're going to do. So when you say you're going to implement boundaries, When you say you're going to do, be congruent to your intuition and your self-worth. Never put you last, put you first. You want to give to this world? Be the best version of you. Absolutely critical. So love yourself, trust yourself, respect yourself, and speak your truth with peaceful confidence. If you want to know more about this subject, please reach out to me. I have a program called Fortify. You've got PowerPoint presentations. You can get a complete workbook to go through of this. You can get the poster. It's all on my website. I'm sure there'll be a link in the podcast description. But you're incredible. You're amazing. Thank you for this opportunity. Love yourself, trust yourself, respect yourself, and speak your truth with peaceful confidence. Stay strong.